Welcome to episode 207 of The Numbers Game. I'm Jace. I'm here with Nick and Marty. How are we, fellas?
Pumped up, Jace. That's all I can say. Really looking forward to today. Nick, how are you, my friend?
Oh, mate, I'm good. Good to have you back. We were a bit lost last time. We were fumbling around, trying to work out who was saying game over. I think I said over game at once. We had no idea. So it's good to have you back. We don't have to think too much.
Was I insulted in any way? Did you take the moment to just dig some knives in, or what was
it? Was actually the opposite. It was the whole way through. It was praise the whole way through. So how
do you do this behind my back, and then face to face, you're just constantly fish slapping me? I love you guys. You know I love you guys. It's all banter.
We were just talking about you being the best on the podcast. We've got you back.
Embarrassing.
We are giving the people what they want, and it's more Marty V. You only have to go to Instagram and see there's a reel with hundreds of thousands of views and comments. And you're a great man, Marty. You reply to people. So, if you do want to get involved in the conversation, Marty is active on our Instagram page and he will respond to your comments. So if you haven't been on there, go to Instagram at the Numbers Game Podcast. Plenty of engagement there just to get that off the bat up front. And, mate, Marty, like
just
always,
in case you have enough on your plate, Marty.
Yeah, just go great. There's my Tuesday gone.
that's why you're the favourite, mate. I'm just giving the people what they want. Speaking of Marty, you've brought a really great topic today around the point of difference. Keen to unpack that and explore that with you. So yeah, talk us through it, mate. What's happening today?
Yeah, well, I was just doing some research and I saw that there were 87% of regions throughout Australia were seeing over the next 12 months is forecasted for business sort of delinquencies to go up, which is quite significant. Now, when I say that, that's off a low base. So it's probably, there might be 4% or 5% delinquencies expected, but that's looking to rise to about 8% to 9%. But that's significant, right? And I was just thinking there was one stat that in particular I thought was quite shocking, like a sharp decline in business orders year on year since July 2024, that the average invoice value had dropped by 51.5% year on year. That's an extraordinary drop in revenues on invoicing. They're saying that court actions against businesses has surged beyond pre-pandemic levels. So again, there's just some signs just with cost pressures in general and just that there's a little bit of hardship in the market. Now, I'm seeing two ends of the market. I'm seeing some businesses that are doing it tough and some businesses that are just shooting it out of the water. And I always think to myself, what is that difference with the businesses that do really well in these times compared to other times when it's more a fairer market across the board and everyone's sort of that rising tide effect? And I just thought it's point of difference. It really is. And I wanted to talk about that today with you guys a little bit more. And there was a great quote, like it says, if your customer cannot differentiate between you and your competitor, they'll make a choice based on price and not value. And I think so often we think about, we'll just give our services and goods out at a better price and that'll win the day. But it's not necessarily the case. You have to bring value to the table. And I think about it in our industry, Jace, a lot. Like I go, we've got 20,000 brokers out there that have access to the same types of products. So what is the point of difference? And really it comes back to the point of difference of the individual in what you bring not only to the relationship in building trust, how you're showing someone how to save money, how you're setting up their future plans, how you execute your service delivery. So it's a lot of it comes down to like a personal point of difference, and then you also have a business point of difference. Like I look at our logistics and our back office, I think our financial planning is a point of difference in the market. I see other brokers that have buyer's advocacy as well, like in different types of businesses. Like they have something unique that they're demonstrating out there in the market that's winning the day in the days that are more challenging. And I think, I think of you, Jace. I think future advisory, yes, you do accountancy work, of course, but it's the advisory piece. It's how you how you challenge business owners to think beyond where they're at and where they're going and how you can cash flow that and come up with strategy. I think it's a massive point of difference as well. And I'll elaborate a bit more on it. But, boys, initial thoughts?
Yeah, well, I was actually going to go a different direction. When you said why businesses do well in these times versus others, my initial thought was, well, they get the basics right. And to elaborate on that, if you look at the basics, I think of the basics of being efficient, good customer service, quality product, just to name a few. Whereas I think when markets are pumping or flying, there's business everywhere for anyone. And I think sometimes the basics get overlooked. Are you doing things on time? Are you delivering it at a good price? Whereas now people start to look for value. They look for good products. So I initially thought, okay, you got to make sure you're always getting the basics right and that you've got your foundations right so that, you can – well, not only do you continue to gain, to have market share, but in times like these in our industry, you need to get more market share to stay on par because the market has contracted. So – but yeah, I like what you're saying in the point of difference.
But you make a good point, Nick, and this is the thing. To me, it's sameness but difference. Like I go, if people have got more time because they're not as busy, surely the fundamentals are looked after, right? Like you go, now maybe that's a false expectation on my behalf, but I go, surely you're servicing the clients well. So, you can do the 1%ers in the back office because there's not as much volume potentially coming through. So definitely you want the fundamentals right. But how do you win more business in these markets? If you've got a competitor across the road doing the same thing, let's say it's good service, let's say it's covering off a lot of those points, how are you setting yourself apart as a business and as an individual as well? So I think you're totally on point with the foundation piece. But again, let's say they've got the foundation piece. How are you challenging yourself to be different in regards to the similar type industry? Like that's where my head's at.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I like it.
Jace?
That's a great point. And, when I think about, even that last bit, challenging yourself to be different, if you think about what your business looked like and how it was running 5 or 10 years ago, if you weren't adapting, taking on new technology, making changes, bringing on good people. If you were the same business you were 5 years ago, would you be competitive today if you kept on doing the same thing, delivering the same product? Chances are probably not. But then what you ever think about today is not getting complacent, just offering the same service at the same price, at the same value. In markets like this where it is getting tougher and more challenging, what is that point of difference? What is the extra thing you're doing that the competitor across the road is not doing? And that is a bit of mindset around that too. And, it is getting tough out there. And if you're not thinking that point of difference, Nick, you said the word value. What is the value you are providing? And if you can't, if you can't convince someone that the service you are offering or the product you're offering is valuable, they're not going to deal with you. Mm. So that's a big part of it is that value exchange piece. So I like the conversation though.
Yeah, and I think what you said is right, Jace, in regards to if you're servicing a client like you were 5 years ago, you're not only going sideways, you're actually falling behind because there are innovative businesses implementing the tech and coming up with new concepts that, surprise and delight the market, which can take that market share. So if you're not exploring what that uniqueness is. And again, you can get direct feedback from your customer base. If you know your demographic of client, location, what motivates them to make a buying decision, what's important to them. And I think you've got to understand your clients inside and out in order to find what is that niche driver that makes them want to utilize you based on that value as well. And I see a lot of franchise models that have similar systems, similar models, similar deliveries, and you always see there's one franchisor that comes out and blows the market apart. And generally it'll be something that's done within that system at a whole different level that, again, surprises and delights their client to do a lot better out there. It's, and I think for me it's – with competition, I've always had two trains of thought on it, and I think both are relevant. I think you have to understand your competition, but you do have to focus on your own game of innovation. So you need to know basic fundamentals, like what's everyone else doing in the industry? What results are they getting? What are their margins? How do they get their sales? So you want to understand that, and you can do a couple of things with that. Is you can look at great performers in your industry, and you know, you can pretty much find out what they're doing as a point of difference to get the revenues that they're getting, because results don't lie. So if you have someone overperforming where you're at, you can go in, have a discussion. It's amazing how open people are to sharing information. Have a discussion to find out where that potential lack is in your own system. Great way to learn. But also in regards to that, I think it's really powerful to have a debrief with your own team in regards to where you think there might be a lack, but also where you might think there's an opportunity. And how do you communicate that effectively to clients out there in the market so it's consistent, so you're really driving that opportunity out there, and then obviously clients telling more clients about that sensational delivery piece. So it's important to understand the competition, but you don't want to spend all your time analysing the competition, because then you're not putting in the effort to extend your benefit and have discussions around that. And I've had people say, well, how do you, if you're an employee starting a business, how do you distinguish your own point of difference? Because, you know, it's hard enough running a business sometimes, let alone trying to work that out. But I think if you can't distinguish what that is, you should hold off from starting. And a great way to establish that is if you are in an industry already and you're saying, why don't they do this? Well, my clients are always asking about this. Why don't they do this? You know, you might actually get intel directly from, like I used to get it from Westpac with business clients. Like they'd be going, why is it the more business I do with Westpac, the more I get charged and the fees go up? And I'm going, because they're looking at return on efforts. Whereas in mortgage broking, you're basically putting the client in a position to best represent the client and use competitive tension to get them a better price. So I go, very early on, you could distinguish going, clients can't understand why they're not getting the best possible price with their lender. And that's because the lender's got all their business in one place and they have control. So you can start to spread risk. You can start to shop against other lenders. You know, utilize that to advantage for the client and representing the client. So these are the points of difference I could see working in the bank that I thought, wow, this is the future. We can actually represent the client, use competitive tension, put them in a greater position. So if you're an employee out there, you know, it could be in any industry where you're going, far out, this is what I'm hearing with the clients all the time. Why is this not happening? Bang, you've got something to start with where you've got a point of difference on a specific that you know and understand that maybe not everyone understands. And you just got to have the balls to go and execute, right?
So, Marty, this is not to put you on the spot. I'm just trying to some like examples with this stuff. So, as a consumer, and if we're talking maybe a service based industry at the moment, but as a consumer, what would you see as an example of a point of difference? So, if you're choosing one service provider, maybe it was Jace over another. What are you looking for?
I'm looking for value outside of the norm. Like I know I can get my accounts done anywhere, but I'm looking for who's coming to me with advice that I'm not getting anywhere else. Who's being proactive on that? Who's giving me that point of difference that's getting me ahead if I'm the consumer? And understand my goals, understand me as a person, and help me attain what I want to attain, be a part of that journey. And I feel like the difference is that it's such a busy world that people want to be in and out pretty quickly and move on and get on to the next thing. So I want that depth of relationship, but also execution in a way to surprise me in something that I'm not thinking about, or that I'm, you know, that is beyond my level of thinking. That's really important to me as, as a consumer. Like I think I talked about that koala mattresses that time. They called me back on a Sunday when I called in to inquire. Like I did not expect that. And they gave me information about a mattress that I had no idea about. And by the time I was online searching, I just, I just thought, wow, that is beyond my expectation. And I was surprised and delighted and, you know, made a move. So it was, I hope I answered that, Nick.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted, an example. Yep, and you gave it, yeah, spot on.
The other thing I'm working out as I go on, like because you position yourself well in regards to your niche, you know, in the market, that not everyone does, whether it's their shyness or a little bit of embarrassment in not wanting to sell too hard, whatever the case may be. But again, if you've done a great job for someone and you're not positioning how you win business, then I think that can be a real deficiency. Because if someone's experienced your service at another level and they're happy, then they want to support you and they want to tell their friends about you. And a lot of the times people just don't recognize that. And people will always still refer on a good experience and capability, but it's a small percentage compared to if you position that that's important to you. Like, I mean, if you're not a big business, you haven't got extreme marketing budgets to go out there and test things and see what happens. You're basically coming back to your level of quality of service and delivery. And then, yeah, again, if there's satisfaction in that, all you have to do is say, you know, how I build my business is through word of mouth. And word of mouth referral is it's highly convertible because someone's already had a great experience with you that they want to share with your friends. So, again, don't hold back. Don't keep yourself a secret. You don't have to be the silver tooth salesman either, or the gold tooth sales, depending how well you're doing. But what you really need to be able to do is have enough confidence to extend the benefit and position well in order to go, this is how we grow our business. We do a good job for you, or you have a great experience with a product. Please tell your friends, because that's how we grow our business, based on what we do.
That in itself can be a point of difference that others aren't doing. You know, being afraid to ask for more business or to say that, you know, we want to help more people. I think very early on, or, you know, especially, you know, I can speak to the accounting industry for ages, but, you know, in the early days of the fast growth that Greg and I were experiencing, you know, we'd go to industry events and other accounting firm owners would be like, man, guys, like, how are you growing so fast? And we'd say, because we ask our clients to refer us business. Like we look them in the eyes at the end of a meeting or a conversation or service delivery. We've delivered them a product or a service and something's happened. And we say then, hey, if you know somebody else we can help, you know, we're growing, we're hiring more people and we're really happy to help more people like you. That in itself is a point of difference that other accounting firms weren't doing at the time. They were scared to ask for business. They didn't know how to handle it and how to scale it and how to, you know, do it. So, you know, and I look at good product businesses too. Like, and even if it's a really good online store, you know, the marketing that gets you there, the checkout experience of the, you know, the user experience on a website, you go to the checkout, maybe you might even suggest another product you might like based on your activity on a website. I look at that and go, all these little things are a point of difference that maybe the competitor's not doing that gets you coming back. You know, after checkout, you get sent a coupon code because it asked you to what your birthday was, you know, and all of a sudden you've got a gift voucher for your birthday. You know, some restaurants are doing that, especially, you know, the restaurant cafe game at the moment is really, really difficult. There's a business that I follow called Tableside Creatives. They work specifically, they are a marketing agency that works just with cafes and restaurants. And they're going in and helping cafes and restaurants set up a system and a process for driving more sales from, you know, Instagram followers or, you know, customers that come into the restaurant to get their name and email and a date of birth to make an experience that when it's their birthday, they go, we want you to celebrate your birthday at our restaurant and we're going to do this for you. Again, so many ways you can identify a point of difference or do it, but it's being deliberate in it too. You know, defining, you know, your business, your offer, the value you're bringing, and then building that out to go, how can we make this feel special? How can we add something to this that is different to what somebody else down the road is doing? And that's where I'm seeing, you know, cafes and restaurants that are half empty versus I went for a walk yesterday and there'd be two different cafes on Bridge Road in Richmond. One of them's absolutely pumping and one of them wasn't. And I went to their Instagram page and looked at, you know, what kind of marketing and advertising they're doing, how are they capturing people and engaging them. One of them, their Instagram page looked garbage. It looked like it was run by a five-year-old. And the other one, its Instagram page was curated, stunning, beautiful, sponsored ads. It had deals and, you know, things coming on this certain day, this will happen. And I'm like, no wonder there was 40 people outside this particular cafe lined up waiting for a table, waiting for a product. And the other one was empty. You know, and admittedly, maybe the coffee's comparably as good if they're waiting for a takeaway coffee and you know, a sandwich. But it didn't have the notoriety. It didn't have the feel or the brand or the vibe that the one down the road did. So, yeah, plenty to think about, but it's so important. And, you know, if you are in business when the times get tough like this, you know, the economy, and even when you're not, even when times are good, you still want to be able to identify what is my secret sauce.
Mm. But even that example that you gave, Jace, I look at that and I go back to, well, that's getting the basics right again, like I mentioned at the start. You know, an Instagram page, well, that really for a cafe should be basic. That's marketing, right? So, again, in a really busy market or when everyone's going out for lunches because interest rates are 2%, you know, one cafe gets full pretty quick, so they go to the one next door. But when those choices aren't there or when you've got to make a choice, you go back to the one that does the basics right. Good food, good marketing, has some deals that attract people in on particular days, add value back to the client, whether that's, you know, free coffee after five. Like all these little things, it's basic business, but it can so easily get forgotten about when we're really busy. And you see that in any market. Like you're seeing it in real estate at the moment. You're seeing a lot of consolidation in real estate because real estate obviously went through a massive boom through COVID. And I'm referring mainly to Victoria now, but it's tightening up. There's not as many houses selling. And, you know, who's doing really well? It's the good businesses, good foundations, good rent rolls that are doing really well. And those that don't have those foundations are struggling, or those that are reasonably new into the market are struggling. So, yeah, I just go back to continuously doing the basics right and making sure you don't let them slide because you are so busy or business seems quite easy.
Your point there, and the difference is your basics, Nick, are at an elite level. This is when you talk about basics, that's what a lot of business owners are striving to get to. And I think when I look at it, like if I'm looking independently to innovate, looking in, I'm going massive front-end referral delivery, finance solution to referrers, you know, massive opportunities in that other businesses haven't established. I'm looking at back office logistics that is always evolving and second to none to allow brokers more time to have deeper discussions with clients and create greater results. I look at the Google reviews, 5-star Google reviews, NPS score over 90. Like you can talk about a business falling over by a death by 1,000 paper cuts, but when you talk about the basics, you know, you've created a business that has those basics that are at absolute elite level. And then you've got the benefit of brokers to being able to be developed at a whole different genre to what's happening out there in the market because there's desperation in people trying to win business. So when you talk about the basics, how have you in your own thinking, like, and maybe it's just, I'm assuming, experience of seeing what's happening on the ground and making adjustments, but how have you, in your mind as an MD, got to that point for the business? Because it's across financial planning as well.
I think it's a want to get there, number one. So you've got to have the constant want to grow the business. And, you know, we've got a, you know, year-on-year remit to grow this business. It's obviously years of experience and making mistakes, but I would put it down to education, number one, and support partners. You know, like there's absolutely no doubt that we do things in this business because of other people, not because of me. So, you know, I think, you know, when you've got good partners around you, everyone's got different skill sets and they think in different ways and they're out there learning in different ways and they come to the party with different ideas. So for me, it's been getting the right people in around me, but also educating myself. Like we're always learning. Like we're learning on this podcast today, Marty. We're always, you know, you're flat out reading and listening to podcasts and YouTube stuff on business. So you've got to keep exposing yourself to good people and what the good people are doing. And then you've just got to make sure you implement it in your business. And if you're not the best person to do it, in a lot of cases in our business I'm not, then give the right people the scope to do it. So I'm not sure if that answered your question. But,
no, it does. But, Jace, wouldn't you agree that's Nick's point of difference, to understand that? And most business owners would not give up that control in fear of putting investment to an area they might feel vulnerable around, or just not having the understanding of how important that is as a business. Because I think that's Nick's point of difference, is understanding that and finding great people to, you know, work with him in collaboration.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And look, I think, you know, Nick's got the benefit of time and experience in the game too. You know, 15 plus years as a business owner has given this lens of, you know, what does the basics mean? Whereas I guess if you go back to startup land, you know, when there's so many hats to wear, so many things to do, it's about then, you know, maybe your attention goes to the wrong place and you don't develop what that point of difference really looks like. You left a business and started a business because you thought you could do it better, or you think you can do it better, but you end up replicating the same business you came out of, and you've just created a, you know, copy paste of the same. And I've seen it happen in my industry of, you know, accountants that leave a business and they open up a new one down the street, basically. It's a cookie cutter. Copy paste exactly the same model. You know, the tax return will come out the same. The pricing's the same. The branding, the everything looks and feels the same. So maybe it doesn't grow or go crazy or expand because, you know, there wasn't that point of difference. But yeah, I love Nick's view of the basics. But yeah, I think, you know, when you put your mind back into startup days, maybe that's where people get the basics wrong because they don't actually understand what the basics are. So Marty, I might throw it to you to kind of give some final context around, you know, if you're a business owner and you are thinking, well, shit, you know, my business, you know, isn't necessarily growing how I want it to, or hasn't gone the way that I thought it would, if they need to review and look at that point of difference, where do they start? What are the couple of steps to look at, you know, what is my point of difference?
Yeah, I think you've got to do a couple of things. You've got to absolutely know where you're at, and, you know, your results will dictate where you're at, and you'll know that there might need to be some change. And understand that it doesn't take a lot to sometimes move the needle a lot. And what you've got to decide is, it could be a simple strategy that's a point of difference that changes the game. Now, what I would encourage is, if it's not within your own industry, go and explore other industries. Talk to people that are doing well. Always come back to people that are getting a particular result that you want. Come off the facts of life instead of, you know, the various different, you know, people saying different stuff out there, but come back to who's performing well. Go and explore other industries, and you might pick up one thing that you can actually bring into your own industry as a point of difference, because you've seen wider and further than someone else. We get very industry specific, and I would encourage that if you can't find that niche or point of difference in your own industry, go and explore different people in different industries performing well and try and extract something that's very, very unique, that's going to enhance your industry and give you a market edge. That's something. If you have got an edge, just scale. You know, scale, you know, sensibly, but scale in a way that you really drive that edge out in the market, because challenging times presents greater opportunities to do well. When others falter and they're not stepping up, then you can really get more market share in those times. And keeping current, like, people are a big factor too, Jace. I feel like, you know, if your team is rocking up going, yeah, I'll just clock in on my 9 to 5 and just go home and have a, you know, champagne, whatever people do. but you know what I mean? If there's if your team's not enthusiastic to make a difference out there in the market, that people can be a big point of difference. If you get a rising tide of great performers that keep supporting each other and encouraging each other to perform and, you know, really give value to the market, then the market's going to respond. Like, you know if there's a team member, you come away feeling a bit de-energised as opposed to one that you walk away going, far out, I want to do what that bloke's doing or that lady's doing. You know those people over the years and years of business. So, again, if that's the impact on you, then that's going to be the impact on the market of that person, right? So you quickly can address that with that person if you need to, but you want people really enhancing the experience, being enthusiastic about what they do, and then having the capability to execute at a high level as well. So there are a couple of tips there, Jace, that, yeah, I think people can do well with.
No, absolutely love it, Marty. I think, you know, beyond that, understanding who your customer is too, you know, that avatar of, you know, who do you serve best, you know, and unpacking that. And the other one, you know, that I think about some of the stuff that we do in our business is every year we revisit a SWOT. You know, we look at our strengths and weaknesses and, you know, we get our team involved, you know, annual planning days. All those things aren't an accident. It's all about making sure that our businesses continue to be different and going above and beyond than the ones who maybe aren't putting in the work, that aren't doing the effort to, you know, and as that last point you touched on, Marty, of the team showing up as well. Like, I know, you know, having a team that is part of your secret sauce, having a team that care, they show up, they go above and beyond for their clients. That care factor is a part of a point of difference that maybe somebody else who is punching the 9 to 5 clock and just sending out a job or doing a particular task without that extra meaning behind it, they are all things that point towards a great point of difference for a business. So I think you've nailed that really well.
Yeah, I think business at the end of the day, whether you're an employee or a business owner, it's a lifestyle. It really is a lifestyle and you've got to embrace it. And, you know, and from an employee point of view, you know, they're the people that progress, you know, that actually understand the attributes of really great performance and serving people and adding great value in the market. Yeah, it's known. It's always known. People see it and people respond well to it.
If you're going to be in business or have a job as an employee, you might as well love what you do and have a good time doing it. You know, show up and smile, like enjoy it. That's what I've always kind of lived and breathed by. So, you know, for those playing at home though, it's that time of the episode where I tell you to like, review, subscribe, follow, jump onto YouTube and check out how good Marty looks. You know, we've enjoyed having you tune in again and listen to the show, and thank you for your ongoing support. Until next time.
What's your pod? Go out there and sell it. Enjoy it. Game over.
This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The conversations are of a general nature and do not qualify as financial or tax advice. We recommend before you make any financial decisions, you consult a licensed professional. Individuals on the podcast may hold positions in the companies discussed.